Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Father, I know you're speaking. I know you're loving on us this morning. And Lord, I know somehow, some way, you are doing and stirring, imparting to us this morning straight from the throne of God through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I think that's a miracle because I don't understand it. But God, I'm praying that you would help us to engage you. God, the words, the desires, the longings of you, that our hearts would be one with yours this morning. God, supernaturally do that. Holy Spirit, do that for us. We are one body serving one God because of one Savior through one Spirit. So I pray for the recognition of that oneness today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Dusty's already told you that we're talking about the angels this morning. And that they had a very important message to deliver because they were on mission. Now, I'm pretty sure every one of us this morning would agree that the message of this season, especially for years, has been under attack. Trying to take away things like saying Merry Christmas and just beginning to become something that's almost so nebulous, not really sure what it describes. I believe this morning we're in a reminder phase of the Christmas season, that it's not just for this season that we're taking things back for the kingdom of God, but this is the way we need to become as the people of God as we look forward to 2018, because the attack on the gospel will not stop on December 31st. And you know that? So I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you, I'm challenging you to amp up your investment in the kingdom of God by seeking the face of God so you can have an impact for God today, and it just continues into the new year. Others, evil may try to steal, kill, and destroy, but we are the ones that offer the way, the truth, and the life, right? Okay. So we know that doesn't stop on a date. It's until He comes back. In fact, these messages that we've been delivering to you and we're going to continue to deliver over the next few weeks is they are a profound reminder of us beginning to join God in what He's doing in the earth, because we are expecting to return sometime in the future. But in the meantime, I want to ask you something very simple this morning. John, you go ahead and put the first scripture up. Give them something to look at. Is this, is your hand to the plow? Jesus said, our hand should be to the plow. Because if it's not to the plow, what is your hand to? What are you distracted by? Whom are you distracted from? The sense of urgency in our lives has to be shifted to a real, authentic relationship with our Heavenly Father. Or we will give way to a time, a culture that says, Jesus has nothing to do with this. And yet, our lives, our proclamation says, and it should be our lifestyle, that it is all about Him. But also, it should be found in our lives on January 25th, July the 25th, until. So this morning the title of the message is, what if the message became our mission? And I'm going to look at this morning, like Dusty told you earlier, there are seven times within the Christmas story that an angel shows up to deliver a message, or angels. Well, this morning I want to specifically look at when the angel shows up to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, who was given a very high calling to take care of the Son of God while he was growing up. So the first one is found in Matthew. I'm going to read it to you. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David. The angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not God's coming by, God's going to stop for a few moments. He's in it. He's all in. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. So that's the first time that an angel appears to Joseph in a dream while he's sleeping. Second time, it's found in Matthew chapter 2. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. The wise men come. They deliver the gifts to a house. So now we pick up that story. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Telling you what, if I could sleep that well, maybe he would appear to me in more dreams. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. So the second time he speaks to Joseph, he says, you need to leave Dodge because Herod's coming. He's going to try to kill him. And I've imparted to you the necessary means to get out of Dodge and get to Egypt. Okay? So they're in Egypt. And then the third time, an angel comes to Joseph. It's found a little bit later in the book of Matthew. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, or a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Man, he slept so well. I'm so jealous. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. So three times an angel appears to Joseph in a dream while he's sleeping, and he gives him an important message. We have an important message, don't we? Point number one, John. What if the message became our mission? The angel's whole mission was to make sure the message got through. Now, I know that seems obvious, right? Okay, did you know that Jesus has entrusted us with the same message to make sure the whole message gets through to somebody? Okay? He's not asking that you just kind of share that he's a good guy, that he's an option, that he's entrusted us just like he did with the angels. And you may say, well, the angels had it easy. Really? They had a choice. They had a choice. They were going to somebody to deliver a message that was going to be impactful. In fact, it was a life or death message, wasn't it? It wasn't just, Joseph, listen, I need you to be a better husband. You need to be a little bit better dad. It was like, listen, I'm sending my Savior. He's going to be born to your wife. You got to take care of her. And there's going to be a lot of travel involved. Right then, as soon as God spoke to me about travel, I'd be like, God, you need to send somebody else. I'm not in the mood to travel. Okay? I'm not in the mood to travel. This was before you had portable DVD players, Wi-Fi, hotspots. How did they make it? All the way from Israel to Egypt. That was a long ride. Long ride. But the angel's whole mission was to get this message through. I want you to think about something for just a second. What's really distracting you this Christmas season? What's really distracting you from the whole message that you've been given? That you've been given to get through to somebody? What is your distraction? What are your concerns? What weighs you down of this message that God is imparting to us? The angels did as they were instructed and didn't leave anything out. Very, very important. And of course, the other times that they appeared to other people too. Point number two, John. What if the message became our mission? The message is personal, which should cause us to make the mission personal too. Just look at that point for just a second. Let it sink in for just a moment. The message, as well as the mission of delivering it, should be fulfilling because God has poured His Spirit into us. You see, He's not sending us out on our own. He's going to go with us, right? So if the message isn't personal, then I would ask you to consider, how personal is He to you? Because we talk about those things which are personal to us. Okay? We talk about those things that we are in love with, that we enjoy being around or enjoy doing. So this message that's so personal to the angels, they impart it to somebody that has to do something with it. So it needs to be personal to us. But it doesn't need to be just personal here on December the 10th of 2017, because the same profound truth is impactful into the future too, even into next year. So is your foundation that's being laid now, is it part of it being personal to you? The angels had to go, and they had to go to Joseph, and they delivered a message. And apparently it was a supernatural encounter for one reason, that is, he was sleeping soundly and there was a baby around. So right there, we know there was something supernatural up because Joseph was like, I'm good. I'm peaceful. But I think it's very interesting, some of the nuances to the dream is this, that it was literally life or death. So I want to ask you this question. How often do you embrace the message that God has given you for others on a personal level that you see it as life or death in somebody else's life? As you see it as impactful that it can do for somebody else, especially during this season. All of us know that this season brings out the highs and the lows emotionally. In fact, I told somebody the other day, it was funny, when I was a young kid, especially really young, how I couldn't wait counting down the days to Christmas. It seemed like it never came. Like, being that it's like 15 days away, if I was like 8, I'd be like, man, wow, it's 15 days away. Is it ever going to get here? But as an adult, it's like, Lord, it's 15 days away. It's 15 days away. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. That's one of the reasons why we hammer the live nativity so much, because it's just 2 days to have an impact on somebody being able to tell the message. And by the way, if you don't grasp how little the message has been told for a couple of generations, then you need to come to Treehouse one Wednesday afternoon when Terry explains this story to a bunch of kids that have a lot more questions, and they don't hardly understand anything, do they, Terry? I mean, they don't even know. They may even ask a question about the most simple things that all of us take for granted. So how important is it? It's life or death. It's life or death. Matter of fact, I read a true story about a month ago about a guy named Nicholas Winton. It was 1939, he was in Great Britain, but he was a Jew living in Great Britain. And he heard a story. He heard a story about a gentleman named Adolf Hitler that was systematically categorizing the Jews already, and that there was something evil abounding. He took his vacation time, left Great Britain, and went to Poland. And he found that the Jews had been taken by Hitler, a lot of them, but the children had been left behind. Over the course of about 1 year, he used his own time and resources and gathered others to do the same thing, and he rescued 669 Jewish children and brought them back to Great Britain. Matter of fact, he petitioned Winston Churchill permission for them to come back. So he didn't say, I can't. He was like, no, I can, and I don't care what the obstacle is. We're going to get the job done because somebody's life depends on it. And I won't bore you, so sometimes if you want to look up Nicholas Winton, look at the list of people that went on. It's something like there's 2,200 grandchildren from those 669 children and grandchildren, because one man said, no, I know their heritage, and I'm not going to stand by and not do something about it. The message for us, the embracing of the personal nature, should cause to make us the mission very personal. Number three, John. God's message includes you having a sense of urgency about fulfilling your message. One of the things I love about this story, these three times where the angel shows up with Joseph, is that they told him something that if he had awaited, it may have turned out differently. Could be. I think God would have supernaturally intervened, but he still had a choice. But the angels delivered a message that needed to be delivered on time and in person. Now think about that for a second. On time and in person. Is that the way you see your mission? Is that the way I see my mission? On time and in person. Not just for a moment, but at any moment. It needs to be on time and in person. You don't know. You don't know. You got to be ready at any moment. You don't know where you're at in life with somebody. That they may have a question. It may not be at the live nativity. It may not be in a church setting. It might be somewhere that God says, I'm going to give you a chance to show what you say you believe is real. God's message has to include a sense of urgency, a sense of readiness, a sense of willingness. The message and our mission will never be just seasonal. Never just be seasonal. Ken and I was noticing this the other day on our street. My parents have a live nativity scene in their yard. And we also have a nativity scene in our yard. And when I was driving around our street and in our neighborhood, how little most of that is apparent. You don't see very many sights or recognition of the birth of Christ. And I was thinking how simple our message is. All it is Kathy made the same little cutout that John made for the Georgetown office. And we have that in our front yard with a little spotlight on it. Now, Josh thought we stole the one from the Georgetown office to put in our front yard. He really did, by the way. Didn't you, Josh? Go, yes, I did. Yes, he did. He came to me and said, boy, what kind of Christian are you? You stole the nativity scene from the Georgetown office. Kathy Mae, but how simple, simple. Looking people in the eye. When they say something to you, look at them and say, how does Jesus view that person? How does the message impact that person's life? How has it impacted my life? God's message includes having a sense of urgency about fulfilling our mission. Because we often say, you don't know that tomorrow's promised. Well, how about the people in front of you? Their tomorrow's not promised either. Unless God has spoken to them and said, I'll give you one more day. So number four, John. Be willing to take the message on mission because it might cause someone else to find their mission. Do you grasp? No, let's just say no. We don't grasp how little our culture lives purposeless lives. I guarantee you don't grasp it. You do not grasp, because I struggle with it. How little people of all ages are struggling to find something to invest in that's greater than them. I'm trying to tell you right now, I don't care if it's Christian, Hindu, Muslim, agnostic, atheist, they're struggling. They're struggling to find the meaning. They're struggling to find what makes me get up in the morning. You and I are surrounded by a culture that most of us, when we wake up in the morning, our first thought is God, how long before I can go back to bed? That's the culture we live in. So we're not just fulfilling our mission because our message is so great. We're embracing others to help them find the reason to get up. Just Friday morning, I heard a gentleman, retired military gentleman, speak about he has started a business, actually. It's not a ministry. It's a business where he pairs veterans that struggle with PTSD and rescue dogs. And here's why he did it. When he was still in the military, he had two friends commit suicide. And so that he really was struggling with it a whole lot, as we all would, right? It was bothering him a whole lot. Grew up in a Christian home, that good, sad story that we often hear. But over the years of being in the military, those two friends taking their lives, and then he was in the military at a very high-pressure job and so forth and so on. And he got out of the military. No family. But he took a rescue dog. And he was at home one day, and he decided he'd had enough. So he got out his dad's 45, sat down in his bedroom, leaned up against the wall, had the note ready, put the gun in his mouth, and his dog comes in. And the guy's crying. And the dog starts to lick the tears off his cheek. And since he was licking the tears off his cheek, he puts the gun down. And the dog literally lays on his lap over the gun. Some days go by. He decides, we're going to give it one more shot. This time he thinks he's latched the door. Does the exact same scenario. Sits down, back against the wall, notes ready, guns in the mouth. But God opens the door, literally, and the dog comes in and does the exact same thing again. So he says, I got it, God. I got it. So you think about something for just a second. That man had a mission. God wasn't waiting for that moment for him to discover his purpose. God just used that moment to discover it. So I want you to realize something. Jesus would term them this, they are legions. They are legions. Every single one of us walk past, and it might be in our own home, people that are still trying to figure out, why am I here and what purpose do I really serve? And there's a lot of details in this. Remember something about the story of the angel appearing to Joseph. Joseph, he didn't just simply say to Joseph, go. He said, you need to do this now and you need to go there and stay until I tell you to do something else. The message had details in it. Because the mission had details in it. Because the purpose has details in it. So to look at me, or for me to look at you and say, God's got a purpose for your life, yes, that's true. But there are details every single day that it gets to unfold because we get to embrace Him and the unfolding. Do you understand that He's not giving you a message or a mission so you can just go do it, as point number five is going to get ready to tell you, so you can just go do it and report back. He's like, we're in this together. Point number five, John. When God gives a message to take on mission, He supplies what's needed, beginning with Himself. I want you to think about this for a second. If you approach the mission from a vantage of what you don't have, then you'll never embrace the one who gave you the message. If you're willing to say thank you when there's really not enough to go around, then He's ready to feed the 5,000. If you're really saying praise God when there's not enough food to feed the 4,000, then there'll be enough to go around. Which, by the way, did you ever wonder something about those two stories? He fed the 5,000, He fed the 4,000. Once there was 12 baskets full, once there were 7 baskets full, who brought the baskets? I'm not so worried about who brought the baskets. What I concern myself with is God had all the details covered. And He has all the details covered in our message and our mission. He has them. But we do not have to be sent out on our own. So when you're thinking about your mission, you're thinking about your message, I would encourage you to think about that this season. When God gives a message to take on mission, He supplies what's needed, beginning with Himself. I would encourage you to think about this too. Are you trying to squeeze God into your life or your life into God? You trying to squeeze your busyness into God, or are you trying to let God set the agenda for you? Because I got some very disappointing news for some of you, okay? You ready to embrace this truth? Sit down. Get your ears ready, okay? There's not going to be any more time every day in 2018 than there was in 2017. You're still going to have 24 hours, 7 days a week, okay? But I have some real good news. That was sarcasm. This is truth, okay? You ready? When we begin to put Him first and say, I love the message, I'm waiting on the mission, He can redeem time, He can redeem strength, He can redeem energy, and He can take what you offer and watch Him multiply it. Watch Him multiply it. He can do those things. Yes, He can. But the new calendar that I just hung up in my room at home, I did notice that it has the same number of days in 2018 that it does in 2017. So it's my choice to be a good steward of the message and the mission and all that's entailed in that. But Him, the angels came from Him to deliver a message because they were on a mission, not the other way around. They didn't concoct a plan to deliver a message and come up with a good mission. They said, I have a divine appointment. You have divine appointments. When God gives a message to take on mission, He supplies what's needed, beginning with Himself. So there's some things to think about. Our mission, it's not impossible, and there's not going to be any music playing, and there's not going to be a message that self-destructs in 30 seconds. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others are clueless. That's okay. All right. So I leave you with a couple of thoughts and one more story. So John, slam it up there, brother. John's so faithful. He's so faithful. He's kind of like a dog I know named Shep. He's faithful. Two questions in a story about the last thing. What if, beginning now, you, me, we, us, whatever, embrace the mission Jesus gave to us? And how are you going to become more effective in taking God's message to the lost, hurting and hopeless world starting now? You know what I'm guilty of Tuesday and Wednesday night typically? It's not talking to the people who come up. It's talking to you too much. It's spending too much time picking on people I know. Well, Dusty does that. I don't. Seriously, I'm guilty of that. Tuesday and Wednesday night, it'll be easier for me to go in the back, eat what someone else brought to enjoy, which isn't bad in itself, but to linger at the wrong table. That's probably what I'm going to be guilty of Tuesday, Wednesday night. So I'm telling you, don't let me talk to you unless God has something for us to talk about important. I want to embrace those God's bringing. You know, I believe if we're a good steward of those types of relationship, God says, I need to get them to the Sycamore Church because there's somebody there that's going to show and share and tell the story. There's a mission. Tuesday and Wednesday night is just a very demonstration of the message of God in a very tangible way. But for some of us, it's really just, hey, a captive audience. They're coming to us. They're coming to you tomorrow. Pay attention. They're coming to you on Friday. Pay attention. The last story, I'm going to start with the very bottom. Stockdale paradox. There was a man named James Bond Stockdale. He is not named after the character James Bond, and nor was the character named after him. He was the highest ranking officer that spent 8 years in the Hanoi Hilton in the Vietnam War. He was a prisoner of war for 8 years. He was tortured over 20 times, but he was the senior officer for those 8 years in hell on earth. And so he developed a code system to talk to other prisoners because they were in isolation. He developed a code system when they were out in the yard, how to use Morse code with a shovel. He made sure everybody knew that. He was allowed to write letters to his wife, so he encoded intelligence information in the letters so she could report back to other military officers what was going on and so forth and so on. He spent 8 years in hell on earth. So when they got out, obviously they had to ask a question. How did you make it when others didn't make it? And so he boiled it down to two things, and these were the two things. You must retain faith that you will prevail in the end regardless of the difficulties. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we see the culture as a difficulty. Jesus sees it as opportunities. And at the very same time, you must confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. Start where you are and see how God can use you there. It may seem at times, if you partake in all the garbage that's propaganda through our media outlets, that evil is winning. But I want you to know today, God's setting it up. I believe it. God's setting it up. He's setting it up, and we get to join in on the setup. We get to join in. Those are two principles that he came back from. Because you know, one of the things, the other thing they ask him is this: well, why didn't some of the other people make it? And here was his answer. You ready? Well, you see, the people who didn't make it would start rumors. We'll probably be out by Christmas. We'll be home by Thanksgiving. I think a few more months and we'll be home. He said they were unwilling to embrace the brutal facts of, no, we may not be out by Christmas. And when the reality, when Christmas would come and go, or Thanksgiving would come and go, or some imaginary date would come and go, the overwhelming disappointment would crush them. Okay? You know what those statements are at the bottom? Those are honesty. Those are honesty. The angels imparted what Joseph needed to know for the very next thing. He had a choice to embrace that. God is revealing to us the very next thing, the message. Let's be faithful with it, but not just for the next 15 days. Let's be faithful with it for the period of time that He has allowed us to be here. Let's embrace it that we are on mission. And that mission doesn't end until He comes back for us. So I'd encourage you to ask yourself those two questions. You have your little prayer card this morning. How can we join you in praying for God to use you on mission? How can you embrace this mission this morning? Because that last question, how are you going to become more effective in taking God's message to the lost, hurting, and hopeless world starting now? You see, I wrote a question for you with an assumption that you're in the game. That you're in it. Are you in it? Are you in it? If God can use a dog to save a man's life that has impacted over 10,000 other people's lives, what can He do with a group of people that one by one says, I'm going to be intentional to embrace Him? And God, I don't want to put you in a season. I want you all the time. I'm going to pray for us. Gary, you can come on up. I'm going to pray for you. Just give you a couple moments to respond. When I was just sharing about different things about the culture and the little part even about the people who wake up and can't wait to go back to bed and go to sleep. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you. I've been there. I know what it's like to wake up and go, God, can I just go back to bed? I know what that feels like. I understand we can't give away what we don't have. And I understand if you're here this morning and you feel hopeless and hapless and desperate and destitute, and all any other good words that you want to fill in there. God's ready to fill you up today. God still has that purpose. And there's great details in it. And the first thing He might need to whisper to you today is, hey, I love you. So I'm going to pray for us, take a few moments, and then Dusty and Rick, come on up with Regina and Audrey, and Kathy and I will be here to pray with you, pray over you, pray for you. Whatever the need is, He is enough. He is enough. Let's pray. Father, I thank You today that You are enough. And God, I thank You today for the privilege of a message that is life-changing, to be on mission to a world that is trying to steal and kill and destroy that message. But You're not going to let that happen. In fact, You're allowing us to join You in this awesome venture to see life change in other people. So God, I'm praying, stir in our hearts, stir in our minds, reveal to us now, Father. What is it You're speaking? I'm going to put all this before You, Father, in these next few moments. The altar's open. If you want to go ahead and bring your cards, your envelopes, it's open. In Jesus' name.
Let's pray. We'll send you out. Do you have the joy of Jesus in your heart? Let me see. I've got the joy of Jesus look on your face. Okay? All right. Well, good. Well, that's most of us. Some of us could still use a little work there. All right. Let's pray together. Now, Lord, send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ our Savior, and the authority of You, Lord our Father. Lord, we ask You, be with us this week. Let's join You in what You're doing. And Lord, all that gets done out on this front lawn in these buildings on Tuesday and Wednesday night this week, we put it in Your hands. And we say, come, O come, Emmanuel. Amen.